here this morning. And one of the things that I see, maybe not as clearly as you folks do, is how the Holy Spirit works, brings Sunday school together with the service. Pastor Infelber and I may talk occasionally during the week, but there are times when he brings a lesson that just dovetails. Could I get at least the spots on? No, one more.
Oh, one burned out.
Well, yeah, no, there we go. That's what we're after. Okay. In Sunday school, we were talking about being content. And the reason that we meet together here on Sunday mornings in Sunday school, as Pastor Felber said, is to learn. And then when you come into the sanctuary, what I want to do is share with you the things that will make you more like Christ. And I see a lot of Christians struggling with the idea of making Jesus Lord of their life. It's not something that comes easily. We tend to be like Jesus accused the Jews of being, stiff-necked. We've got our own way of doing things. And we like our way of doing things. But maybe God doesn't like our way of doing things. So this morning, we're going to look at seeking Jesus as Lord of our lives. Matthew 10:24 says, "The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord." And I don't think I would say that this was a Bible principle, but that I think it is more of a statement of fact. I understand that Jesus is the Son of God. I understand that Jesus is creator of the universe. I understand that he took on the body of a man like you and I. And that he lived a sinless life. And that he came to go to the cross. And in a little over a month, we're going to celebrate Easter in that event. What I don't understand is why I have so much trouble making him Lord of my life. Other people that I respect tell me that he is Lord of their life. And so I wonder, why am I struggling with this? I know I have a sin nature. I know that of what the Apostle Paul said in the book of Colossians, in Colossians 1:15-19. And if you will turn there, Colossians 1:15-19. And let's look at what Paul says about this. Colossians 1:15-19. Who is the image of the invisible God. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, by the way. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible. That means principles of physics that apply. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. In other words, he existed before these things did. And by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. What is this thing or motivation in me that wants to run my own life? This thing is called self. So let's look at some of the writings of Paul that deal with self. Galatians 2:20. Paul was talking about himself. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Yes, this is what I want to achieve. But there's something missing. Perhaps I may like the world too much. Would I be willing to give up everything that I have to be like Christ? If I'm honest with myself, the answer is I really don't want to give up some of my stuff. You may feel the same way. Maybe that's part of the problem. I look around and I see all the things that I have, and I like a lot of what I see. You could say I even love some of the things that the Lord has given me. So, okay, Apostle Paul. What do you mean when you say you are crucified with Christ? I know that you weren't nailed to a tree. What does it mean to be crucified with Christ? Does that mean that you expect me to start making decisions differently? How am I supposed to make decisions? Let me stop here and think about this. Ken McBride lives in this body, and he has appetites and personal desires. Is that wrong? I don't think so. But it does mean that something has to change. What needs to change is that Ken McBride should not be first anymore. Jesus Christ should be first. The will of God should come first ahead of my own desires, my own appetites. I need to start considering his will and what he might want before I consider what I want. That's a hard place to come to. It's not easy. Nobody ever said that it would be. is, what I need to do is ask myself a question. Is this activity in which I'm about to become engaged profitable for God's purpose for me? I know what I like. I know that I desire. I'm a diabetic. I love sweets. Some of you may have the same problem. I thought during one of the hymns we sang this morning that hey, when I get to heaven, I can have all the sweets I want and I don't have to worry about it. If we're going to be crucified with Christ, our desires, our appetites need to come second, not first. And that's part of the problem. You and I many times think of ourselves first before we think about what Jesus might want. So it means that our relationship with the church is not what's going to help us. I'm glad you're all here this morning. I'm glad most of you are a part of the church, and we welcome any who would like to become a part of the church. But the church is not the important thing. It's who leads the church. It's Jesus Christ that is important, and what he desires and what he wants, and that he become the purpose for our living. The Sunday school lesson just went so well with this message. It's no more our faith that we walk in, because our faith falters. Our faith is sometimes very weak. In fact, sometimes our faith is absent entirely, and we worry or we fret. So it's not our faith. It has to be the faith of Jesus Christ. Romans 1, 16 and 17. You're familiar with the verse. You'll know it immediately when I start to share it with you. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation." And most of us have experienced that power, if not all of us. "To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." When the Lord Jesus is Lord of our life, suddenly nothing matters but what he wants. Acts 6, 7 says, "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." And I have emphasized in my notes, obedient to the faith. And that's where we probably are lacking. We are not always obedient to the faith. That's actually what it means to be crucified with Christ. We become obedient to the faith. Are you obedient to the faith? Is this what's been missing from all of our lives? We've not necessarily been obedient to the faith up to now. We might look at things differently if we had been. The early church started out, they were obedient to the faith, and they were just getting started. The church was just beginning. Acts 16:5 tells us, and so were the churches established in the faith. And that's what we have to do, is be established in the faith. And they increased in number daily. I believe that as we think about these things, that we're approaching the answer or the solution for the problem of being crucified with Christ or not being crucified with Christ. I believe that for most of us, it's a faith problem. We may be weak in the practice of our faith, which may account for our reluctance to believe God enough to trust Him with our life. For years before I got saved, I didn't want anything to do with Him because He might redirect my life. Not where I wanted to go, but where He wanted me to go. What a blessing to let Him do that. But for many of us, we're unwilling to completely let go and let God do what He wants to do with us. So what do we need to do? The disciples of Jesus had the same problem, and they knew what to do about it. Luke 17:5 was their solution, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And I would propose that that might be what all of us need. There's a couple of verses in the book of Romans that presents the truth as Paul saw it. I believe that the verses express Paul's passion for relationship to Jesus. And it's rare to see the same passion today. The first verses are Romans 14:7-8. Romans 14:7-8. For none of us live unto himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. I believe that as we read this verse, that we're getting closer to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, to having Him on the throne of our heart or our life. I think that many of us have things that come between us and the Lord, of having Him, turning over to Him the Lordship of our life. There are things in our lives that we don't want to let go. They're too dear to us. Children can be a part of it. Are we willing to let go of our children and trust God to be able to do with them what needs to be done? Are we willing to submit them to the Lord Jesus Christ and then take our hands off? Even a home can be something that comes between us and the Lord Jesus Christ. We like the home. We like it just the way it is. We don't want to be moved from that place. We're comfortable. We're content. And yet, that can become an obstacle to keep us from doing what the Lord wants us to do, from submitting to His will for us and letting Him be Lord of our life. Finances can have a big part. As we are not willing to give up our creature comforts, we are afraid that the Lord will take from us some of what we have, some of the security we think we have with financial things. There's another thing that comes between us and the Lord. I prefer to call it stuff. We all have a lot of it. And you know what? The Holy Spirit knows that too. And that can be one of the first things He asks us to give up, is our stuff. You know, as a child of God, we need to examine our inner self. And we need to address where we are in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And it doesn't happen in a group setting. That has to happen when you are alone with God. No distractions. Your phone is turned off, and that reminds me, I don't think mine was. That would be embarrassing. But stuff can come between us and the will of God, because that stuff is too valuable for us. We've been collecting that stuff, and we have learned to love that stuff. Giving it up sometimes can be hard. So, if a believer is not obedient, what other evidence do any of us have that we are believers? Submission is one of the only evidences that others will see in our lives. So let's look at some things that Paul wrote to the churches as a way of teaching believers about placing Jesus on the throne of their life, and actually making Him Lord of our lives. Philippians 3, 7 through 9, we've been studying it in Sunday school. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I counted all things but loss for the efficiency, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. How bad do you want Him? Verse 9 says, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. Remember I said it's the faith of Christ, not our faith. The righteousness which is of God by faith. Tonight we're going to talk about faith, so be sure and come back. What Paul says here in Philippians 3 is that he gave up everything. Everything. And he did. He gave up his home in Tarsus. He gave up his friends, the Pharisees. He gave up other friends. No, I'm not saying you have to give all this up. But you have to be willing. And that's the rub. Our willingness to give up. I don't believe God's going to take it all from you. But evidently some of you do because you're not willing to give it up. Maybe I do a little bit too because there's stuff I'm not willing to give up. At least I don't think so. It's interesting to watch God work in people's lives. They think, oh, I've got to keep this because this is all I've got to retire on or all I've got to live on for the rest of my life. And God can say, snatch. And there we are without it. And we think, oh, what am I going to do? But folks, that's part of making Jesus Christ Lord of our lives. Paul gave up everything that he had to serve the Lord. In fact, there was even one time, as I remember, where he wrote Timothy to bring his cloak because he'd even given that to a brother who needed it at the time. Paul went about. The Philippian church was helping take care of Paul. He was writing that letter from prison, and it just didn't get mentioned, and I didn't want to interrupt Brother Felber. But you see, when Paul was in prison, and I've told you this before, because Connie and I have lived in that part of the world, he wasn't fed. He wasn't even given water. Epaphroditus came from Philippi with food and water or funds to buy food and water to provide for Paul. He didn't even have a bed. He slept on a concrete floor or a stone floor or a dirt floor in the prison. They didn't give him a prison uniform. What he happened to be wearing when he came in was what he was wearing. And if it wore out, it wore out. But Paul was willing to give all of that up for Jesus Christ because he loved Jesus Christ. He loved him more than anything else in the world. He gave him his life to take and use for the glory of Jesus Christ. Paul figured that there was no sacrifice that was too great. All of the things he had and all of the things that he used to have and all of the things that he gave up, he considered no more valuable than a pile of cow manure. He gave up family. He gave up wealth. He gave up everything he owned. And still, God used him to write most of the epistles in the New Testament. That today you and I could sit here and read God's love letter to us. 1 Timothy 6:6-12 says, but godliness with contentment, it seems like I've heard that someplace else, is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. and lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. As I read that, you know what I understand? I understand that there's no room on the throne of my heart for stuff. I can't have stuff there and have the Lord Jesus Christ there. And so I either need to move the stuff off my throne, and the throne of my heart, the throne of my life, and let Jesus occupy that place. That's what Paul had done. And you might say, well, I don't have the faith that Paul has. Where do I get that? You know where to get it. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. More time in the word. And if you don't have enough faith, be in the word, and the faith will come. God has said so. I believe that right now we've come full circle back to Galatians 2:20, where Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And then he said, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Do you believe that Jesus can take care of you? What evidence do you have of that? I know that Jesus died because he loved each one of us. And you know what? That's it. It's not by our own faith, it's by the faith of Jesus Christ that we can live and place Jesus on the throne of our life. So let's trust him completely. Let's not trust our own wisdom. Let's not trust our own knowledge and the way we do things. But let's let Jesus have control of our life and our stuff. You know, I've told you over the last 3 years, if you don't want to have stuff stolen from you, if you don't want to lose stuff, give it all to God. Then it doesn't belong to you. Then it's his stuff. And you don't have to worry about it. Self seems to be the thing that is getting in the way. I'm finding that in my life, and I'm sure you're finding that in your life. Yourself. Your own decisions, your own desires, your own appetites are what keeping you, they are keeping you from letting Jesus be Lord of your life. There's a verse, I've shared it recently, 1 Corinthians 10:31, happens to be the theme verse at the Wilds. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. So that means that when we think about something we're going to do, well, I'm going to go to the store and buy groceries. Can you do that to God's glory? You can. It's all about attitude. And so, as you have some time this afternoon, sit down with the Lord by yourself. Look at your heart. I'm not talking about the vessel that pumps the blood. Look at the seat of your emotions. It's the thing that makes you you, your personality. See if you can surrender that to Christ. See if you can make him Lord of your life. You came into this world with nothing. You will leave this world with nothing. Why worry about it? We know where we're headed, where we want to be headed. I believe it can be a much more pleasant trip if Jesus is controlling it. Let's pray. Father, we want to be willing to let Jesus be on the throne of our heart. We're willing and yet reluctant to turn over our life to thee. But Father, through the faith of Jesus Christ, help us to grow in our faith that we might be able to trust him with everything we are and everything we have. Then, Father, use each one of us to accomplish your will in your way, in your time. And may we see this ministry and fruit in our lives, because you can use us without our stuff getting in the way. Thank you, Father, for this time together this morning. May it be profitable for your kingdom. And we will praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. We're going to